You're not on.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Every once in a while, I wake up in the middle of the night, and you want me to hold it?
Yeah.
I feel an attack from the enemy, and I've been worried about this operation. It's a cardiac catheterization where they go up through the veins in your arm and go into your heart and find out if there's anything major going on there. So I had a hard time getting to sleep because I had so many things going on in my mind. In the middle of the night, I felt the attack of the enemy, and a whole bunch of anxiety and fear came over me. And I prayed through it, and in about 15 minutes it left, and I went back to sleep. Then when I woke up this morning, I remembered a dream the Lord had given me right before I woke up. And I was in a dress shop, and I was in a changing room and putting on the most gorgeous blue dress. And as I went out of the changing room and went into the room where the other women were, because there were other women in the store shopping at that time, everybody stopped instantly, became silent, and looked at me. And it reminded me of Cinderella, and Cinderella being at the ball. And everybody stopped when she went down the stairs. And I know that the Lord was telling me that I am his princess, not to worry, that I am his beloved, and I felt such a feeling of peace coming over me at that point. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you. Sorry to put you on the spot.
That's
with
okay.
That. It was such a lovely... She shared that this morning in our worship team practice and wanted to have you have the opportunity to hear that. You know, God understands that we get nervous and worried about things. I was going to have my oral surgery, and the last time I had some wisdom teeth pulled, it was a livid nightmare. It was horrible, and they had to go in and drill all kinds of curly roots out, and then I got a terrible infection, and then things went wrong. Well, it was just pain after pain after pain. So when I was going in this time, I was praying, and I was nervous about it, and that morning I got up. Every scripture in my morning reading was, fear not, don't be afraid, I will be with you. I felt such a peace settle on me, and my fear went away. Isn't God good to send us comforting images, the blue dress? Now your job is to look into the scriptures and look at what the color blue symbolizes in the Bible. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to make you look it up. There's wonderful, wonderful things, and you look at what it represented in the tabernacle. It's wonderful. I hope I've piqued all your interest now. Now you have to go and look it up. I'm not going to just tell you these things. So, amen. Happy Thanksgiving. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about choices. And, you know, Thanksgiving is a choice. You have choices, and I picked a graphic that is just absolutely particularly not really brilliant to see, but I like it because it has these things pointing in all different directions. Do you know that every day you make hundreds and hundreds of choices? You have to choose when to get up in the morning. You have to choose to brush your teeth. Do a service to humanity. Get dressed. What to wear. What to eat. When to leave. All day long, you're making choices. Sorry, I had to. It's just me. You know, I had that interesting little clicker thing, and I thought I'd be able to click. Oh. I might be able to do this today, Adam. I figure if I point straight at you with this, It might work. So let's find out. I'm going to give it a try. Did it work?
Yeah.
It did, yes. I had to push it three times, but it... Huh? Oh, back. Oh, it went too far. Okay. So I want to start out today with 1 Samuel. If you want to look at it in your Bible, if it's hard to see on the screen, I try to make these things a little bigger, but sometimes they're hard to read. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. On the third day, David and his men arrived in Ziklag, and the Amalekites had raided the Negev, attacked Ziklag, and burned it down. They had taken captive the women and all who were there, both young and old. They had not killed anyone, but had carried them off as they went on their way. I want to talk a little bit about the significance of this. David here has been on the run from King Saul. It's obvious that King Saul is on the way out. He has sinned against God a number of times, and it's obvious to him and to David and to most of the people that God is raising David up and putting Saul down. Well, Saul, of course, didn't like that and made numerous attempts to track David down, to kill him, to spear him, to find him in the wilderness, chasing him all over the countryside. So David finally decides that the only way I'm going to escape is if I go down to the land of the Philistines. I'm going to escape there, and Saul will not try to chase me down there. Well, so he goes to the Philistines, of all places, and he lands in this town of Ziklag. And while he's there, I imagine the Philistines are looking at him very cautiously. He's an Israelite. But while he's there, every day, or periodically, he would go out and have raiding parties. And he would go and raid the towns of the Amalekites and the towns of the Girgashites and the Gerizim. And he would take their towns, take the plunder, and kill everybody in it so that no one could escape. Then when he went back, the king of the Philistines would ask him, well, where have you been today? And he said, oh, I invaded the lands of Judah today. Oh, I went into Israel. I went here and there. And so they felt that David had made himself an enemy of Israel. So there he is living there. He was there for a year and 4 months in Ziklag, raiding all of these towns. And when the Philistines decided to march against Israel, they decided, whoa, wait a minute, we do not want David going with us. He's going to turn on us, then we'll have the enemies in front of us, and we'll have David in the back of us. No, you go home. So David goes home to Ziklag. Well, apparently the Amalekites had had enough of David raiding their towns, and while he was gone, they came and they burned Ziklag to the ground. Burned everything, took all of their possessions, and took all their wives and their children and disappeared. At this point, they don't know whether their families are alive or they're dead. They don't know. The scripture tells us that they did not kill anyone, but David and his men did not know that. When David and his men came to the city, they found it burned down and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and the troops with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no strength left to weep. How many of you would have done the same thing if you were in the situation? You came and found everything you had burned to the ground and your families had been carried off and you don't even know if they're alive. And here these men, these mighty men of valor, overcome with grief at the loss of their families. David's two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel, had been taken captive. And David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of every man grieved for his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. So David returns, and he still doesn't know whether his family is living or not. And now David has a choice. He has to decide what he is going to do. Well, his men have already made a choice. His men had wanted to stone him. They were doing the old saying, when in trouble, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Ah! So they're running around screaming and hollering and didn't know what to do. And so instead of looking to God, they looked to David. It's your fault. If you hadn't raided all of those towns, you hadn't made the Amalekites mad, and we're gonna stone you now. How many of you realize that sometimes in crisis and in difficult places, the first thing that people want to do is point an accusing finger at somebody else? You. It's your fault. Blame somebody. Find somebody to blame. Find somebody to attack. And David has a choice too. And could he have just stayed in distress? Absolutely. Could he have stayed in mourning? Absolutely. But what does he do? The scripture says he found strength. It says David, in some of your versions, it's probably better translated, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David chose. He made a decision. He had to choose to come out of the depressing situation and put his hope back into God. Do you know when you get in a tough situation, you have a choice? And you can choose. You can choose. David had to make a choice. Remain in despair, or he could hope in the Lord. I keep forgetting, I'm the one to advance now. Psalm 42, 10 and 11, David says here, like the crushing of my bones, my enemies taunt me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? But then what does David say? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So David, I bet he looked right down and said, soul, stop it. What's going on in there? Cut it out. Do you ever talk to yourself that way? I talk to myself that way. I was up on the scaffolding yesterday, and Ed and I were there, and I pulled out the old bulbs. I had a terrible time getting the bulbs out. And then the screws kept dropping off and hitting the ground, and Ed had to go and retrieve them and toss them up to me. And then I put the new bulbs in, and all the red lights flashed, and nothing would work. And then I tried swapping out a couple of the other bulbs, and they didn't work. And then I tried to put one of the old ones in here and a new one here, and that didn't work. And then we tried switching them. Finally, Ed is just like, did you try every combination? I said, well, I haven't tried this one yet. And I'm up there, and I'm saying, oh, God, help me. And finally, at one point, I just said, I am choosing to not be upset about this. But I had to fight through my... And Ed heard me. He looked at me. I said, Ed, my sermon tomorrow is about choices, so that's why I'm going through this now. And we threw the cover back on, and it worked. It worked. And then it's easy to rejoice, you know, when things work. If it hadn't have worked, then I would have had to fight through that one. I think Shay was at home praying for me. I called her on the phone. I said, Shay, you better pray because I'm mad at this projector. Something like that. And she goes, okay, I will. Oh, but you have to make a choice. A few weeks ago, I had some very difficult things happen. I had some difficult things happen at home. I had some difficult things happen at school. And I got home that night and I just felt overwhelmed with hopelessness. It just overwhelmed. It was very despairing. And I just stood over the sink in the kitchen, and I just said, God, I can't do this. The weight of it was so hard. And my wife kept asking me, she was watching me. Wives do that. And she kept saying, are you all right? But she asked me again, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. Which, of course, I'm not. Finally, she looked at me and she said, are you all right? Because you are not acting right at all. And I stood out in the kitchen and I remembered something. Some years ago, my son Gregory graduated from Alfred State College. Now, if you don't know, my son Greg was born 24 weeks. He was 3 months premature, and he was never supposed to be able to do anything. He was supposed to be blind or deaf and handicapped. And God had mercy on us and him. He was born normally. He did fine. He graduated with a degree in digital media and animation. He's working a great job out in Utah right now. I just talked with him last night. But we had graduation, and at Alfred State, they plan outdoor graduation, no matter what, with no plan for the weather. And it was raining, and but it was one of those rains. It was like 38 degrees and raining, and it was miserable. And we went out, and we're out huddled there, lots of my relatives came. Robert was there, and Andrew, and my son Andrew and his wife Chloe were there, and my sister drove up from New Jersey, and all these people were there. And it is freezing and miserable. And I'm sitting out there, and the kids are in their gowns, and they're all shivering. And every time another speaker comes up, they're all like, hurry up, hurry up. And they're catcalls, and one girl got up and said, well, I'm only going to speak for a minute, and they all started to cheer, and the chancellor got up, and I think they booed him because they wanted him to just get this over with. It was so awful, and we're just freezing. And I happened to turn around, and I saw my son, Robert. And Robert looked back at me, and he got this big grin on his face. He just grinned at me. And then in classic Robert form, he made a funny face. He went like, or something. And it made me laugh. And I thought, Robert is happy. What's going on? So I asked him. I said, Robert, it's miserable out here. What's going on? He said, yeah, I was feeling pretty bad. And then I realized, being depressed about this is dumb. I'm not going to be anymore. So he didn't. And so he started making happy faces, and it made me feel better. And so then I decided, you know, I'm going to feel better. Well, here I am, fast forward to me hanging over the sink. And Robert's words came back to me. It's dumb to be depressed like this. And I said, yeah, this is dumb. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. And I felt this thing lift right off of me. Oh, it just lifted right off of me. The spiritual attack, whatever it was gone. And I walked into the living room, and I said, hey, honey, I'm better now. And she looked at me, and she's like, oh, good. Good thing. But it left. Now, the same kind of thing happened to me about a week or a week and a half later. Some other difficult things happened. That time, I did the same thing. I said, no, I'm gonna believe God. And it just kind of hung on. I had to fight through it. Do you know sometimes it lifts, and sometimes you have to fight through your emotions? Do you know that you are an emotional person? The women are like, yeah, Pastor Dave, you're a guy. You don't really get it. My wife tells me I don't get it. I'm a logical thinker. Men tend to be that way. But sometimes you just have to fight through some of the emotions of it. And I know why. Sometimes it's because there's something in it that I want to let go, or I am having some resentment about something, or I'm not, haven't forgiven somebody, or I'm hanging on to some kind of self-pity, and you have to work through it. I get it. Sometimes it doesn't lift. But when you make the choice, you are on the path to victory. It puts you on the path to victory. We can choose. I keep forgetting. I was going to say, Adam, go ahead. We get to choose. I think I fast-forwarded past some things that I had there. I think I did. Did I? Did I go back? No, I didn't. Maybe I didn't put them there. We're going to go on. Joshua 24:15. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. You know, you have to make that choice every single day. Every single day, you have to choose who you're going to serve. I don't care whether you've been a Christian for one day or 25, 30, 40, 50 years. Every day that you get up, you have to decide who you're going to serve. Is that not true? Do you find that you have to decide that you're not going to serve your flesh, that you're not going to listen to the accusations of the devil, and that you're going to serve the living God? Every day, it is a choice. We get to choose what will have our heart, our mind, and our attention. And I hope that worked. Number one, our heart. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. For to this you were called as members of one body, and be thankful. Notice the words let. Let. That is important. That is a allowing, a giving permission of. That is a decision. That is a choice. Let the peace of God. You know, you can choose to not let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I am so guilty of that, of not letting the peace of Christ rule in my heart. But it is our choice who's going to rule. You get to choose who's going to rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, for to this you were called as members of one body, and be thankful. Have to get the Thanksgiving message in there today. And be thankful. Thankfulness is a choice of focus. If you're going to be thankful, you can choose what you're focusing on. You can look at the good things in your life and give thanks. Or you can choose to look at the difficult things in your life. The natural man, we just tend to gravitate right toward what's bad. But if you choose your focus and give thanks, then what are you going to have? The peace of Christ ruling in your heart. It's a decision. John 14:1. This is kind of a little bit in reverse, but Jesus says it twice in John 14, in verse 1 and in verse 27. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me as well. And then in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Don't let it get you. Don't let it get you. Let the peace of God reign in your hearts. Let that happen. And it's a decision. Are we going to believe God or not? We're called believers. You know what believers do? Believe. Believers, believe. We're called to believe. And if we'll be faithful to do that, we can let our hearts not be troubled. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In other words, when you have a problem, you have a choice. You can run in circles, scream and shout. Or you can choose to not be worried and bring your requests to the Lord. Give them to Him. And when you do, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I am preaching this message to myself today as well, because I just find, oh, that didn't work. Go. You get to choose who will have your heart. You will also get to choose who will rule your mind. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In another place it says, for we have the mind of Christ. And the mind that is set upon the things of the Spirit, this Paul says, is life and peace. Philippians 4:8 and 9, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, here comes the choice, think on these things. You have a choice about what to think about. Are you thinking about what you think about? It's very, very important that you think about what it is that you're thinking about. What is the meditation of your heart? David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So we are commanded, Paul is telling us, think on these things. Whatever you have heard or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And here it comes. And the God of peace will be with you. Do you want to have peace? You choose. You get to choose what you think about. Colossians 3:16. Let. There's that word let again. Let the word of Christ dwell within you. Dwell richly. Dwell within you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude, with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Let. There's that let again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's a choice. It's a decision. You have to be proactive. I have to be proactive. I have to make sure that I get into the Word every single day. And if I don't, the Lord gets on my case. You know why? Because all of a sudden, I start struggling with spiritual attack. All of a sudden, my mind is not at peace anymore. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and it's going to do its work in your heart and your mind, keeping you at peace. We get to choose who rules in our heart, who rules our mind, and who rules, we choose what will have our attention. Your attention is pretty important. What is your meditation? What is your thinking? What are you looking at? Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I love, love, love that word fix in the Greek. It is such a cool word. Because it doesn't just mean to fix your gaze on Jesus. It doesn't mean just look at him. It's the Greek word aphoreo. It means to look away from everything else to something. So there is a sense in the Greek, it's not just look at Jesus, it's take your gaze off of everything else. Move it away and put it on Jesus. Do you have to do that? I find myself having to do that like 20 times a day. But fixing your eyes upon Jesus instead of all the stuff. If you get on news or social media or TV or the world or the people around you, all day long, it's just look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And the scripture says, look at Jesus. Look away. Keep your focus. Keep your gaze. Keep your attention where it ought to be. On Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our heart, our mind, and our attention. I'm not going to go long today. I have just one other place I want to look at in the scriptures. This phrase, let us, I like it so much because it involves a choice and a decision that we make every day. And if you look in the book of Hebrews is filled. It's just filled with these "let us" statements all throughout. And I'd like to walk you down through a few of them today before we go. And Hebrews, no, that's not it. Next one. Let us, scriptures from Hebrews. Hebrews 4:16. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word boldly means with confidence, with surety, with knowing without a doubt that we are accepted and allowed. Come with confidence to the throne of grace, so that when you're having a problem, don't run in circles, scream and shout. We can boldly come to the throne of grace and believe God. Let us make that step. Get there. Sometimes I think, why didn't I just pray first? Why did I worry about it? Why did I try this? Why did I go and do that? Why didn't I pray first? Why didn't I go to the throne of grace? I found myself regretting that. Next, Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. We're called to draw near. Take the time to draw near to God, especially when you're having a problem with your heart and conscience. Next, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold unswervingly, and that word unswervingly means to hang on without any deviation to the hope. And that word hope means the expectation. Let us hold undoubtedly to our expectation. It's not something that we're wishing for. It's what we're expecting. Hanging on to that. Let us hang on to our hope. Don't let go of it. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good works. I like this one. That word spur is kind of fun. I'm not going to try to say the Greek, paroxysmos. I guess that was it, paroxysmos. To provoke or to stimulate. Or in other words, you go over to your brother or your sister and you give them a poke. Hey, Karen, we're praying for you. Be encouraged. God's going to move. God's going to reach your son who's out in the tulips. He's going to do it. You know, provoke one another, but in a good way. Encourage it. Take the opportunity. Let us think about how we're going to encourage other people. And then do it. When you're here, step into that role where you become an encourager, where you speak life to somebody else. Let us make that decision. Instead of being just the person who has needs, be the person who brings blessing to other people who have needs. Oh, you're going to find your heart and your spirit lifted. God will do a wonderful thing. And the next one doesn't apply because you're all here. Let us not neglect meeting together. So all the people who weren't here this week, you get to go and poke and provoke them and stimulate them. Let us not neglect meeting together. That's an important thing for fellowship. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Let us decide to thank God, to be thankful and so worship God. Because we're receiving the kingdom, when everything else in the world is shaken, we're receiving a kingdom that can't be. Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. The sacrifice of praise. In other words, the sacrifices that the Israelites brought, their animals that were an offering to God. Now, we bring a sacrifice of our worship. But it's a decision. Continually, when you wake up in the morning, wake up and begin to praise God. Decide to start your day with praise. Decide to end your day with praise. Find ways to praise God in the middle of it. I have to remind myself of that because I'm tempted to complain. And I work in a building of people who tend to complain. Oh, aren't teachers, did you find that, Karen? Are guilty of complaining all day. I just can't go to the faculty room because they complain and oh, that's not where I wanted to get yet. Anyway, what about our emotions, though? You know, we struggle and fight because we have these things in us, these emotions. Oh, we get tied up in knots. We have worry, we have fears and doubts and everything. What about it? You know, God has created us as emotional beings. Do you know why? Because we're created in the image of God, and God is emotional. Did you know that? God is emotional. Zephaniah 3:17, God says he rejoices over us. He's joyful. He sings over you. He dances over you. We sing that. He comes in and he's joyful over you. God gets angry. Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. Ouch. Says that he gets angry. God can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That word grieve there is lupeo. It means to pain or distress or vex. God can feel pained and distressed and vexed. So we also have these emotional responses because we're made in the image of God. So we have to sometimes work through these things. Sometimes we have to work through. And when you make the decision, when you make the choice, that's the point where your emotions can begin to line up. Ephesians 4:26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Make the decision. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. I love the contemporary version translation. It says, don't go to bed mad. Don't go to bed mad. Get it right. Get it fixed. It doesn't say, do not get angry. It says, when you get angry, in your anger, don't sin. Make the decision. Make the choice. But then don't hang on to it. Choose to release it. Forgive. Find a way to get that off of you. Psalm 56:3. Have you ever felt like it's evil to be afraid? I mean, the scripture says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. You know what? Then I must be a horrible Christian because I get afraid. I do. But the scripture says, Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, there's the choice. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You know, God understands that we have these things that work in us. That's why he sent Karen the beautiful dress dream. That's why God spoke to me before I went in for my surgery so that I could have peace. Because he understands that. He knows what it is. But he wants us to decide that we're going to believe, that we're going to choose, that we're going to walk, and that we're going to make those choices. And this year at Thanksgiving, I want to encourage you, choose to be grateful. Choose it. And be proactive. Make a list. Write down what you're grateful for, if you need to. Talk about it. When you sit at your Thanksgiving table, go around and talk about being thankful. Find ways and be thankful to God. I know at our table, You know, we actually, I want to tell you a testimony. I think I mentioned it last week. We're singing a song about gratitude at my school. I had to swap a gratitude song for one of the Christian songs because there was some controversy about singing a Christian song. And the kids just came out of the woodwork. They were all grateful to God. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the Bible. I thank God I'm a Christian. They were just thanking God for all, thankful to the right place. And I just stood there thinking, oh, out of the mouths of babes, thank you, Jesus. And I had to think, these kids are more thankful than I am sometimes. Oh, sorry, Lord. I was convicted, but we can choose it. We can choose. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true, and it's our choice to believe it. It's also our choice to get stirred up and upset and worried and fretful. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to look down at our own soul and say, soul, why are you downcast? Why are you so disquieted? Trust thou in God, the help of my countenance and my God. Father, I pray that you would help us today, Father, with our heart, that we would choose the peace of Christ ruling in our heart, that we would choose in our mind to believe your word, and God, that you would help us to fix our attention, to turn away from the distractions of the world and fix our attention upon you, where we can believe you, where we can choose to believe you. We can choose to have a heart that's at peace, even in the storm. Just as David encouraged himself in God when everything around him was burning. Father, thank you that we can still choose. And then, Lord, we know that you brought a great victory to David and there was restoration. And Lord, ultimately, that's what you want for our hearts and lives is restoration. So God, we pray that you would help us today to walk in choosing to find encouragement and peace in you, Father. Help us. And Lord, where we struggle with that, I pray that you would help us to discern, that you would help us to quickly turn our affection and our hearts, Lord, when we get stirred up, when things are difficult, where life is difficult, and we're tempted to worry, we're tempted to try other things, that we would remember to fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. And God, we do trust you, and we will not let go of our hope. And Father, I pray for every expectation of people sitting here today, Lord, that sometimes it's been a little hard to believe. I pray that you would bring resurrection life to those hopes and prayers and expectations, Lord. For the things that you will do that we have believed you for, but it's been hard. We choose today to still hang on to our hope, Lord, that you are going to do what you promised because you are faithful. I pray, God, that you would breathe life into those expectations, especially the things that have gotten a little dim because we've prayed and prayed and we haven't seen anything yet. And then our enemy comes and says, yeah, you won't see anything either. But God, we know that's not true. We choose to believe that you're faithful and that you will work. And we thank you for it. We thank you. You are a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, I would invite you to come. We are happy to pray and believe God to bring healing, peace, life to any situation that you may have. And if not, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving. I would invite you to come to the community Thanksgiving service tonight and come and sing real loud. Your pastor is leading the worship tonight. be wonderful to have some voices. Presbyterian Church on Main Street, 6 p.m. 6 p.m.? Is that what? Yeah, 6 p.m. You are certainly welcome to come and rejoice with us. and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. God bless you. If you want prayer, you can come now. Thank you.